You know, the greatest blessing that God ever gave man was his son, who died for us. It's such a great blessing that we have, we live in a land that we can come to worship, and worship in spirit and in truth. There are so many things that we could say. My three favorite subjects, I suppose, is my God, who loved us all that much that he gave his only son for me. I'm not going to go in and tell you all the things I've done in my lifetime, because you'd just feel sorry for me, thinking I was so dumb. But then his son, whose father gave him the power, came to this earth because he loved the Father and the Father sent him. And then his son, who died and established the church. You know, word church is quite a name in itself. Ecclesia originally was what it's called, ecclesia. And then those that were in charge and ruled, they called it assembly, and they called the assembly to come together. And so this is the assembly of God. We come together on the first day of the week to worship him. His son sent up the fruit of the vine to represent his blood, the bread to represent his body. And just down the street, maybe two or three blocks, there's a group of people. In the original, they took the Bible and the bread, and they drank wine. But then they got drunk. And the wives, they were furious. And so now you know what they do? They take light bread and water. Is that what the Lord has asked us to do? Of course not. So is there something in a name? Well, I think so. If my wife took somebody else's name, I'd be up a little bit upset. I believe most of you men would be. A story that I have to say, that when we first moved to Inukirk, we met in a building that I think the rats themselves wouldn't stay in. It was so filth and so cold in the winter time that we gathered around a little heater. And Lloyd Thompson bought an electric one, and we'd all stand around it trying to get warm. In the summer, we have to go home and take a shower. So hot. And so we decided to build a building. Well, I had taken all those years in college, and I was a fairly good carpenter in my own estimate, in the image anyway. So I drew plans. And Brother Lloyd Thompson sent them to Bakersfield to get a permit to build. We got them back in a couple of weeks. refused. And so Lloyd said, I know someone on the base that perhaps could help us. So he took the plans that I had drawn over to the base. I imagine it was an engineer or someone there. They drew the plans, signed their name, and put a stamp on it. Guess what? It was okayed immediately. Lloyd called me over and says, Harold, I want you to look at this. And so I looked at the plans. The plans the man had drawn up here on the base, signed his name to it, put his stamp on it, was identical to the ones that I had drawn. You tell me there's nothing in a name? And we look at all these buildings up and down the street. This is church. Can you imagine that? They call themselves the church. There's nothing in a name. But who established it? The Son of God didn't. You see, that's why we call ourselves the church of Christ. Because we are owned by Christ Himself. He bought and paid for us. And so we look to Him for all the guidance that we need. We know we're lost, like those in Acts, the second chapter. They found out. The apostles stood up, and Peter, and said, you're lost because you, with your cruel and wicked hands, took the Son of God and crucified Him. And they said, oh my, the Son of God, there's no hope. Can you imagine how you would feel? Just taking the life of somebody would be bad enough. But the Son of God? What can we do to be saved? What must we do? And they were told. What did they do? They did exactly what they were told. Now we have a church over in town. My daughter was baptized in their baptistry. We had none. The next time they refused to let me use it because, after all, it was a Baptist baptistry, and it was for the Baptists, not just anybody. But did you know you can repent, you can confess Christ, you can do whatever you want to. But they have a number of men that vote and say, yes, yes, he's qualified. We can baptize him. What power did they have for that? None whatsoever. And so I love my God, and I love His Son, and I love His church. What does that mean? That means I have to love every one of you, even if you turn your back on me. I still have to love you. And I do. We have some young girls here, and I talk to them all the time, but they don't talk much to me. And I said, a cat got your tongue? They didn't know what I meant. Oh, that's an old saying back when I was a kid. And so every chance I get, no cat got my tongue. I confess my God, my Lord Jesus. He is my Redeemer. He bought and paid for me. The one you see is a nobody, but he made me somebody. And that's why we offer an invitation after services every time we have services. Because we want you to be clean and pure. So when you leave the baptistry, you can look back and see all that filth that you live at to start with, and now you're clean. The Church of the Living God. You and I, perhaps we need to research it again and look at it closer. You know, there is some churches that say, you're saved by the church. What a fallacy. What is a lie? No church saved anybody. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself when they accepted him and was baptized. They didn't have to join. They didn't have to pay dues. We find in Acts 2, the Lord added to those who were being saved every day. We can ask you today, are you saved? Are you lost? If you're lost, do you want to be found? Open up God's book and read therein. For the words in there is put there for you to read, to understand and to love. It tells us the very beginning of man. Well, is there any rules and regulations to this group of people? This assembly? After all, you go uptown, they have the man that's supposed to run the city. I heard on the TV that a lot of people are not happy with them because they're not listening to them. So, do we have any rules and regulations to go by? Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, not some man. Yeah, years ago, well, Dorothy and I both lived in Idaho, a large congregation there. If you was colored, you were not welcome at all. You were lost. They would not accept you. And then one of their men, lo and behold, had a vision and said, yes, we've changed our minds. We think it'd be all right. Does God change his mind like that? Just over a few minutes, he changes his mind. You see, he made you in his image. You can think too. You can make decisions too. And so he left it up to you. Do you love me, he says. Come, Christ himself. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Is that just being tired? No. You're loaded with sin. It bothers you. Hopefully it does. Come unto me, he says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll make you pure. You'll know you're saved if you continue to walk with me. I think I'll sit down just for a minute here. I don't like to do that. I like to look at who I'm talking to. But there are times when I suppose you get a certain age where best thing to do is sit down and behave yourself. Shut up, maybe. I've been asked, was I able to give this talk tonight? Because I'd been in all these hospitals and doctors. And was I able? Well, a good brother put a chair out here for this old fellow to sit down in. Moses had a staff. I have two legs that are wobbly. And I ask you this. When Christ said it in Acts, in Matthew the 16th chapter and the 18th verse, after Peter had confessed him, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Did Christ build the church right then? This is something that I hadn't given a whole lot of thought. I knew the church was established and ever since was building and being larger and larger. But what about those in the Old Testament? Were any of them? Were any of them saved? I would say yes. They belonged to God. He said they were His children. He guided them. He blessed them all the way. Do you feel blessed? I do. Not for anything I did. But you see, my ancestors come from Germany, I've been told. I don't look like a German. I don't talk German, so I don't know whether to just say yes or no, but I had some uncles and they'd come over from Germany and they took their sister's husband's name, Hadley. That's a pretty good name. But I like the word Christian better. I would rather go out and say, there goes a Christian man. There's a guy from Germany. His name is German or something or else, or English. Or just call me a Christian. And sometimes us Christians, we forget what a Christian means. It means Christ-like. Are you Christ-like? Are you willing to give your life for a friend? Paul said in Corinthians, no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And Christ is love. His Father is love. Not only that, He is the chief cornerstone. Now that means a lot. I know modern people don't know this, but I remember the chief cornerstone. The weight of the building was mostly put on him, and he held the building together. Reminds me of Jesus. Keeps this church together. He's our chief cornerstone. Not only that, but in these chief cornerstones, they had hewed out a place in it, and inside it said who the architect was, who the builder was, what the building was made for, the rules and regulations of the building, who was to be in it and out of it, Was it to be used just for anything and everything? No. I remember they tore down a building, I believe it was in Chicago years ago, and it went into this cornerstone to find out the history of the building. You know what we need to do? Is reach for God's book and open it and look in there. And then we'll know. The architect, the builder, the keeper, and what it was all for was to save our souls, to keep us together as children of God, brothers and sisters. It's funny, the story goes way back whenever I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. My younger brother, 2 years younger than I, a sister, 4 years younger than I, and of course, as country kids do, we do things we shouldn't be doing. A canal ran underneath the road, and on this was concrete embankments on both sides, wide enough that you could get up and walk across it. Naturally, we did, except my baby sister fell in. And the water was going underneath the road. I had a horrible time. I got her out. And even today, she'll say, "Brother, you saved my life." But I just saved her life. Christ saved us all if we so accept him. Now, if my sister hadn't been fighting me all the way, but I still hung on to her. And she grabbed a hold of me and held on. And she was saved. Christ wants us to hang on to him, to do what he wants us to do. And so we as a congregation, an assembly of God, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Individually and collectively. Everyone knows pretty much where I stand on almost everything. I know this, that perhaps we're not doing everything we ought to be doing. You see, Jesus said, go out into the world and preach the gospel and save those. Are we doing that at all? No, I like to sit at home where it's nice and warm. And in the summertime, I like to stay in where it's cool. When we first started in your current after and the building we'd built, Dorothy and I and another couple walked up and down the streets and introduced ourselves to all the neighbors. It's interesting. You find so many good people. They are interested. Many of them want to know. Are we placing ourselves at their disposal to help them learn? Well, perhaps. I know some of you are having classes. But I ask myself, am I? I try to get out of getting up here and talking tonight. I can't see. Well, I can see some of you have white blouses on or something. But I can't see your faces. and I can't read my book. It's God's book. That's why I encourage you, if you can see, read his book. It's full of jewels. It will help you through hard times. It will. Not only that, but it'll help you be saved. And not only that, perhaps your loved ones or your neighbor or your friends. And so you who are our neighbors and friends, I say this about your congregation, your church, not to hurt your feelings or to cause friction. I tell you because it's not God's building. It's not his church. It's not his group of people. And yet, there are so many of them. They're God-fearing. They love. They're good people. And yet, for some reason, they've been misguided. But they honestly believe they're saved. And perhaps you as a neighbor believe you're saved and you hear the truth. And then it's your privilege to go and tell them. God loves us. And he gave us all the blessings in the world. It's amazing. Everywhere I met Christians that were just outstanding Christians. In Montana, where I preached. Uh-oh, there's that word. I said I wasn't a preacher. An evangelist, I'd rather be called. But everyone left town Thanksgiving. They had to go home. They had to go to different places where they love people. People love them. So what did Dorothy and I do? Christians from over 100 miles away invited us to come and stay all night with them and have Thanksgiving dinner with them. Dust Jess is their name. That's what Christians do. Christians love Christians. You say, well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ in Ridgecrest. Not me. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Anywhere the church is, I'm there. I'm a member. Christ is there. Try that in some of the churches here in town who claim to be followers of Christ. Whatever they think doesn't matter anyway. Whatever I think doesn't matter. It's what God says that matters. Don't you want to be a member of his church and not somebody else's church? Don't you want him as your leader, the one who loves you, who gave himself for you? The one who says, I'm going to go. My Father's in heaven. He's got mansions there. I'm going to go. And where I go, I want you to go too. I'm going to go and prepare a mansion for you. But you see, there's a catch to that. It's free. True. But he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you love him enough? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to be with your Lord through eternity? I'd like to be there. In fact, I'd rather be there now than here. But evidently, the Lord says, no, we want you there for something. I don't quite understand why sometimes. I know this much. When I left home, I wasn't fully prepared for this lesson, this talk. Oh, I write, but I can't read it. And everybody else looks at it, and they think it's scribbling. And so I got scriptures all over the house. I got outline of lessons. I look at them, and they're just scribbles. Everybody else believes the same thing. But brothers, you can see, you're blessed. You can talk, you're blessed. You're educated, you're blessed. Yes. You see, I love the church because I went to school and I became a carpenter. I know about buildings. Not as much as engineers, but I know something about buildings. I do know the weakest point in a building sometimes is its strongest. Did you ever think of that? Sometimes what the strongest we think is strong is the weakest. Christ said, you build your rock, a house upon a rock or on a sand. Well, of course, I know better, and you probably know better, too. And so why wouldn't let somebody else build your house on sand, and you go in to them and worship with them? Why don't you just go with Christ? His is on a rock, and He is the rock. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the Savior. He's the Redeemer, and He is the Son of God. He has all the powers of God. He wants you to be His brother. That's always amazed me. Why would the Son of God, so righteous, so good, so loving, the Creator, He said in John, the first chapter and on, He was there in the beginning. He was the Word. There was nothing made or built without Him. Why would He want me to be His brother? And then you stop and think, because He loved me. He loved me. Which brings, actually, tears to my eyes. You see, even though I didn't know them, a father was fishing in American Falls, Idaho, with his son. His son was walking along in a big concrete embankment next to the dam, and he fell over. The water was washing him right down to the dam itself where they had a power plant. And the father, he knew better. Surely he knew better. But he jumped in trying to save him. And the walls were as slick and as straight up and down. He had no hope. And so they both went through the power plant. You see, our Jesus, He just didn't jump into water. But He was put on a cruelest way of death known to man. A very cross made out of wood. And Christ himself created the trees. And then I began to thinking, there was a class here a while back I didn't get to attend, but I heard some of it. It was interesting because it had to do with a fig tree. My younger brother and I, we raved where there was a big fig tree. We didn't like figs. Oh, bitterly sweet. Lot of little seeds. We didn't like them. But the Lord must have liked one very much and loved them. And this fig tree, they come by and it wasn't producing. And so he cursed it and said, may it never have another fig. And it was dead. And I kept thinking, there's got to be a lesson here. Could it be that the church is a fig tree that the Lord loved dearly and it's not producing like it should and it's going to be lost because you and I, we're members of that church. Or are we going to be like the other one with the second chance? Fig tree wasn't producing in its owner. Come by and told them, the manager, why should this be in our ground doing nothing for the last 3 years that hasn't produced nothing? Cut it down. We can use the ground for something else. But then I think Christ says, well, why don't we just let me have it for a while, Father, and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it and it can produce. And it will be a good tree. Can you visualize Christ wanting us to have a second chance, loving us so much that he's willing to do what he can, but then he's wanting us to do our share? If we're not producing, perhaps he will say to us at the end of time, you didn't produce anything. And look at all the people in Ridgecrest in the eastern part of Kern County. Have you taught anyone? Have you convinced anyone to be a saved? It's so important for you and I to understand the responsibility that rests on our shoulders. Christ saves them, but Christ wants us to carry the word, to do our part. He loves us, but he loves them too. Do you love your Lord? Do you want to be saved? He wants you to be baptized. The story goes, he went to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, well, I need to be baptized of thee. And he told John the Baptist, I want to fulfill all righteousness. How do you feel? Do you want to feel all righteousness? Do you want to repent of your past? Do you want to be baptized with Christ? He says, come, I'll be with you. You can be baptized in me. It's such a wonderful thought, such great love. What else can I say to encourage you? In Jude, I have a talking Bible I listen to. I had forgotten so much. Christians, talking about Christians, but a pig. Pig was clean, white, pure. I've seen him, cleaned him and put him up for sale on an auction block. But this pig, he wants to go back to his wallow. Are you one of those Christians that wanted to go back into the world, visit for a while? Don't do it. You're clean. Stay clean. God gives you that choice. You can walk up and say, I've sinned and I need the prayers of the church. I need your help desperately. We had a Christian here that was an alcoholic. World War II did it to him. But he called up his brothers in Christ. Every Friday, he'd get off work, he'd call them. And there was always some of the brothers go and stay up with him all night to help him get over drinking. That's what we need as Christians, is working with Christians and for themselves and for God. I know there's people here that can teach far superior than me. If you have a question, they'd be more than happy to sit down with you and open up your book, your Bible, they'll open up theirs, and you can open it up and read what God has to say. What his apostles had to say. Do you love yourself? Then you'll love your wife. You'll love your brother. You'll love to talk about God and His Son. You'll love talking about being righteous and following after Him. He's there waiting for you. He knows that we're not all perfect, by no means. Oh, He'll make you perfect, but still we have our shortcomings. But you go back to Him and He'll be there all the time for you and forgive you and help you. He wants to help you. We here want to help you. But we want you to know that we cannot save you. Only Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the world, the one who established the church, the one who is here tonight, He knows how you're thinking, what you're thinking. How do you think? I want you to be with all of us, the rest of us who make it to heaven. I want you to be there. Oh, I have a child that I would love to see. He's not here. Most of my brothers and sisters and brother-in-laws have been converted and convicted of their wrongs and their sins and been baptized. I want you to be more than that to me. Everyone here wants you to be their brother in Christ. and Christ loves you and he wants you most. Now, I remember years and years ago, I was in my early 20s, I think. And I had, my mother literally pushed me out into the aisle. I had nowhere else to go. I wanted to go, but it's scary. But she pushed me out in the aisle and I had to go. And I went. There's everyone here. Somebody will walk down the aisle with you. Maybe not your mother will shove you out in the aisle, but perhaps we all need a mother like that. Someone that sat up nights with me and we talked about the Bible. It's wonderful. I thank you for your attention. I hope that what I had to say is you've accepted with thanksgiving to God. Believe me, I ask him to help me tonight. Put words in my mouth. And I remember in the Old Testament, there was a fellow that he wanted to talk so bad. He said he was like a burning fire in his bones. Well, preachers get that way. They get to the point they want to preach, even if they don't know how much or thank you. If we can be a help to you this evening, will you not let it be known and walk down? Mitch is sitting right over here. He's our minister here. He's our preacher. And he got good legs. He can walk down and help you. Oh, I got wheels, but they're not reliable sometimes. But there are other people here that would help you. I know sometimes it's scary. But be brave for Christ. He was for you on that cross. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?